All right. Good morning.
Morning.
We'll go ahead and get started. Jump back into our lesson here that we started last week. And so we started looking at, let me just get our slide caught up here. We talked about, what do you think of when you hear the word disciple or discipleship? General marks of a disciple of God. These are some of the things that we talked about last week as well. I'm not going to spend a lot of time reviewing them, but if you were not here last week and you need fill in for your notes, just catch me later. I'll be glad to help you with that. So we asked, we started with a couple of points. First, biblical discipling is intentional and deliberate. We spent time talking about that last week. And then the second one that we talked about is biblical discipleship is relational. Let me slow my tongue down a little bit. And so today we're going to look at the third one. I believe that's where we left off, right? On the third one. So what is discipling? And so I would say this to you. Biblical discipling is loving. Biblical discipling is loving. Let me go ahead and have a word of prayer as we get going here. So, Father God, I thank you for the privilege of being here today. I thank you for each one that's able to come. And, Lord, I pray that all of our hearts are encouraged as we rejoice in you, our Lord and Savior. You are God and King. And, Lord, today we desire to come before you that we might worship and exalt your precious and holy name. And, God, help us as we grow and learn together, as we are discipled through the teaching and preaching of your word, through the prayer, the scripture reading, the songs that we sing, Lord, all the things that we do as we gather as a church, and through the personal encouragement through conversation and fellowship. And we ask it in your name. Amen. All right, so I asked you a question as we closed last week. I asked you to think about this week, and I'm not going to ask you to respond to this. No, this is for you personally and me personally as well. But I asked you just to think about your own personal conversations with church members, church people, church folks, and how well do you know those that you worship with? How well do you know those that you gather together with and go to church with? What is the nature of your conversations and how you get to know them? Does it go beyond work and the weather and sports, and or does it, how often do we actually talk about what's going on in our life spiritually, and what's God doing in your life today? How can I pray for you? And I know those conversations do happen, because I know I get asked those questions, and I'm thankful for that. And so I'm not asking you that question thinking that that never happens here. I'm asking those questions just, I think we can all continue to grow in that and be encouraged in that, but I am thankful that it is happening. All right, so let's look at this idea that biblical discipling is loving here. Intentional relational discipling is not cold or utilitarian. Rather, it is near the very essence of how God has called us to love one another within the church. We are called to deliberately pour out our lives for the spiritual good of others. That's key to understanding what it means to loving one another. For the spiritual good of others, that was in our discipling definition, just as Christ poured out his life for our eternal good. And so as we look at this, as we think through this, certainly Christ did for us what we could never do for one another. Christ died for us. He provided salvation for us. No matter how much I love you, no matter how much I care about you, no matter how much I try to help you, I can never be a savior for anyone. I can never provide salvation. I can never forgive anyone's sins. I can never help you get to heaven. Just can't do it. You can't either. It's impossible for us. There was only one who could do that. God sent his son. And so as we think about that, we can never do that. He bore our sins as the perfect substitute. You and I cannot do that. Still, I think it's important, and I mention this because it's important that we need to understand that we are still called in our imperfect fallen state to the picture, we are to picture what the perfect love of Christ looks like. And how? And I would answer you this way, by pouring out our lives for the spiritual good of others. Okay? What does that mean? Pouring out our lives for the spiritual good of others. For their encouragement, for blessing. That is what the Bible describes as love between Christians. So as you think about that, I was asked a question last week about, what do you think about when you think about love, or how do you describe love? I don't remember exactly how the question went. Are you going to address that? And, you know, love is such a, when we think about the idea of love, it is such a convoluted idea in our world. They just completely misunderstand. If I confront you, or if I say you're wrong, or you say I'm wrong, or you don't agree with me, according to the world, that's hatred. That you don't love me. And yet, biblical love is that we would, and the idea of discipling is what? The key phrase there is for the spiritual good of others. Not for how you feel. Am I concerned about how you feel? Am I concerned about your feelings? Am I concerned about your emotions, your thoughts? Absolutely. I am. But I'm more concerned about your spiritual well-being. I'm more concerned about your relationship with your Creator, your Savior. And so that's what you and I are to be driving at. And so when we do love one another, we love one another by confronting one another or encouraging one another to continue in the truth, to maintain fellowship with God. And now, we do that lovingly. Okay, I'm not grabbing a baseball bat and whacking you over the head and telling you to knock it off. Gary says maybe. So if Gary comes to confront you, okay, cat's out of the bag, you know what's coming, right? So, but what? When I discipline my children, am I loving them? Most of the time. Okay, sometimes if I'm honest, I'm angry. I'm not doing it the right way. But the intention is that I would love them, that we would correct them for the purpose of their what? Their own good. Not always just spiritually, but the spiritual is the ultimate goal in that. It's not just that they would correct their physical behavior, but they would also that they would know God more through that, and they would understand that God calls us to live a life that glorifies Him. And there are things that we do and things we don't do in that. That's not legalism. That's just understanding the nature of God and as God works in our lives. So loving. The Apostle John says it clearly in 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Why did Jesus lay down His life for us? He laid down His life for us that He would glorify God and for our good spiritually. He did it to teach, He did it to model, He did it to encourage, and He did it to love His disciples. So you and I then, through that text, we are called to picture that love in small ways and laying down our lives for others with the goal of glorifying God and doing them for their spiritual good. That is what it means to love. Okay? The fourth thing here, biblical discipleship involves training in God's Word. Training in God's Word. Did you find it? All right. Discipling involves training. It involves training. It has both the context to convey and it has both the content to convey and application to make. Yet, We need to understand that this training cannot be in just anything. Okay? What are we talking about? What we teach people and what we draw them with or win them with, as often said, is what they will spend the rest of their lives contemplating. It is what they will spend the rest of their lives doing or pursuing. Think through that. You know, why do we do what we do as a church? Why do we arrange and function, or not function, sorry, that's a bad word, but why do we arrange and do the worship service the way that we do it? There's intent. There's purpose behind that. It's intentional and deliberate the way that it's laid out. It's intentional and deliberate the way that things are done, the way things are put together and organized. I promise you, pastor doesn't go in his office Sunday morning and go, okay, I got to pick songs. And I need to figure out what do we want to cover this morning. It's all laid out. He's thought through it. He's put it together. And you know, as we talk through that and we think about that, there's intention. And the idea is that it would be all tied together with and centered around what is being taught and preached. And so it's connected. You know, my point is this, that you and I, I'm talking about this worship service as we gather together, but you and I, as we disciple others, we need to be intentional and deliberate in that. We need to be purposeful in not only that we teach, but what we teach and how we teach and what we're drawing people to and what we're winning them with. It's not my favorite phrase, but that's the phrase that's often used. But what we're winning them with, what we're drawing them to. All right? Discipling must be rooted in the Word of God. It is God's Word that brings life and not the discipler's sage advice. Scripture's self-attestation to its power to transform is evident throughout the entire canon. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correction, for training in righteousness. So that, what? The man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. It is the simplest, in its simplest form, disciple making is the daily task of pointing others to God's word. It's what it is. It's pointing others to God's word. As disciplers, you and I, we work hard not to cultivate a dependence on ourselves. And the point is that we train Christians to consistently and constantly turn to the scriptures. Okay? Have you ever been or heard or maybe have done you've witnessed to somebody, heard somebody witness to somebody, or maybe had someone witness to you in a way that you knew more about them when they were done than you did who God was? I was pastoring a church, and I was talking, and I forget why we were there, but I think we had gone after church down to Dairy Queen. A bunch of the people from church did. And we should do that sometime here. But anyway, so distraction, right? So we went down to Dairy Queen and we all just got something and we were sitting outside. It was a nice night sitting out at the picnic tables. And I remember a lady walking a dog was walking down the sidewalk. And one of the guys was sitting on, they had some rocks out there around the picnic tables. He was sitting on the rock by the sidewalk. And as the lady walked by, he struck up a conversation with her. And I was just listening as I'm involved in other conversations with people, and I'm just listening to him. And as he was talking, he started asking her if she died today, does she know that she would go to heaven? And she said, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. And they started having this conversation, and he said, would you mind if I shared my testimony with you? And I'm always kind of curious, you know? And so as I listened to him share his testimony, there was not hardly any mention of Scripture. There was not hardly any mention of who God is and what he's done. This is what it was about. It was about, this is who I was, and this is how I've changed, which is in a sense a testimony, right? But there's a reason between one and two. Why I was and what I am now. And it's not me. But if we never point to why, or who is it better, then we haven't really witnessed, have we? Well, we've witnessed, but we haven't witnessed about God. And so as that conversation went on, I actually pulled this guy aside later and just talked with him. And, you know, I'm not going to confront him there in front of the group. But as I pulled him aside later and just talked to him, I said, you know, I heard you say you were going to share your testimony about God's work in your life. I think that was his wording. And I said, when you were done sharing your testimony, the only thing I knew about was your life. And as we talked, he understood what I was saying. And he said, yeah, he said, I'm not always good at, or I don't always know what scripture to use or what this or, and he started saying those kinds of things. And so we walked through the, what it means to share your testimony, and because it's not a bad thing to share your testimony. We each have a testimony, but our testimonies don't point to us. They shouldn't. They should point to God and his work in our lives and through our lives. And so we walked through that and just kind of helped work through that process. How many of you have thought through that or been in that? How many of you share your testimony as part of witnessing to somebody? Yeah, I do as well. Absolutely. And when I came here, I shared my testimony with all of you. Hopefully, or maybe you, not hopefully, but maybe you don't remember that. But, you know, maybe some of you will pull me aside afterward and say, you know, I remember that. You shared your testimony, but you could have shared some more scripture. Or you could have. So the idea is that in everything that we do, discipling is intentional. It is deliberate. But the intentionality in what we're deliberate in is pointing people to God. Who is he? God is the one that has the power to save. God is the one that has provided the way of salvation. God is the one who is working in and through not only your life, but in the life of the one that you're witnessing to, that you're sharing him with, sharing Christ with. And so we're pointing to Christ, and Christ is ultimately pointing to God in that, that people would know who he is. So, the fifth that I want to look at this morning is this.
Todd's got a question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Something I was going to kick in alongside. Titus chapter 2 kind of addresses this topic a little bit. Right before the Apostle Paul talking to Titus talks about teaching the old men to be sober, or the older men to be sober, and the women to be keepers of home. In other words, discipling these people. The first verse in Titus chapter 2 says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That term become there is not eventually will become sound doctrine. It's not what he's saying. Teach thou the things which make sound doctrine conspicuous. In other words, whatever you say, that it literally enhances people's understanding of biblical truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Thank you. Yes, Terry.
So do you think that that gentleman or other people is sometimes we're so used to talking to other Christians? And when we talk about stuff, I mean, they know
the reason.
Yeah, the reason and so forth. And so sometimes when you're talking to someone who's not a Christian, you sometimes will kind of forget that. So, I mean, yeah. Like you said, it has to be intentional. But I think sometimes when you're in the midst of it, it's almost like you have to practice in a way. Because, like, when you're in the midst of it, sometimes you're nervous talking to someone about it, and then so scripture doesn't come to you, you know, for people. You know, for me, sometimes that will happen, you know, because you're just, it can be nervous doing that with people. And I think, do you think that that can happen with people? You know, I mean, why he didn't do it. I mean, you had the conversation with him, but just out of curiosity, your opinion on that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm letting you go because you're sort of answering your own question. And in one sense, you and I, when we get in those types of situations, we do get nervous. And, you know, so what we know, what is there is what will come out. And I think you really hit a key of that is that we do need to practice. And maybe I would use that as we need to deliberately put into our minds that which we want to come out. Okay, right? I mean that's a principle that's much broader than witnessing to somebody. That's a principle for our lives. But that is certainly true, Terry, and you really hit it in that sense. Is that, and we're going to talk about that even in this next point, is that it's not natural for me in and of my own self to, it's becoming more natural, but it's not natural. It's not my nature that I'm going to share with you the Word of God. It's not my nature that I'm going to talk to you about God, that I'm going to confront you with the things of God. Because why? Because my nature is fallen. It's terrible. It's wretched. It's, you know, God is changing that. And he's doing a work. And that's why as he changes the old man into the new man, and he is working that process, it becomes more natural because we're changing. We're being molded. We're being shaped. But part of that is that if there has to be a deliberate intake if there's going to be an output as well. And so it's not just going to happen. And that's why I appreciate the word that you used, even practicing, because I think really that's the idea, is that I have to intentionally prepare. I have to intentionally plan. I have to intentionally work toward the goal of being able to talk to others about Christ. And I think oftentimes we do what we see or what we hear when it comes to witnessing. So when I first, I shouldn't say when I first got saved because I didn't go to church, but it was later when I first started going to church, my pastor, we had a Thursday night calling program. And my pastor would take me out and I went with him several Thursday nights and we would go talk to people, witness to people that had either visited the church or contacts people had given us. And what was I doing? I was learning by example. And some of the things I learned were great. They were very helpful. Some of the things I learned were not so great. They weren't very helpful. Because, you know, that we do that. We learn a lot by what we observe and how we listen to people and what they do. And sometimes it's not always a good thing. Sometimes it is. And so not only am I witnessing, I need to be deliberate in my own witnessing, but then if I'm going to disciple somebody and encourage them and help them to witness as well, then I need to be careful in how I do that. I need to be deliberate and intentional in that as well. And so you're exactly right. It is something that we have to be purposeful about. It is something that we have to plan for. It is something that we have to prepare for. You don't get saved and in the next moment you can do what? You can tell somebody what God did in your life, and you should. But in that conversation, as you grow, you're thrilled and you're excited and you want to say, this is what God did and God saved me and this is how God saved me. And that's a beautiful thing. I am not taking away from that at all. I'm not telling someone not to do that. But as we grow in that, as we grow in our understanding of actually what happened in our life, as we grow in our understanding of the gospel, we grow in our understanding of what God did, what the work of salvation looks like. We don't understand all of that when we get saved. We grow in that. But as we grow in our knowledge, we're also going to grow in our ability to witness and to share the gospel with someone else.
One of the things I've found for myself in witnessing to people is if I know I have a very short period of time to deal with somebody, I approach the gospel much more quickly. If I have a continuing conversation, I'll be working with somebody for a week, 2 weeks, and I know that. I try to let to be tempted of the Holy Spirit to meet the needs in their life on the day-to-day and build that trust relationship and allow that trust relationship to build up and then broach the gospel with individuals as I've had a chance to establish a connection with them. And I think that's a kind of a biblical approach. You see Jesus doing that, people.
Sure.
He didn't try to impart all his biblical knowledge on individuals in 2.5 seconds.
Right, yeah. And it wouldn't even be wise to. Yeah. It wouldn't even be wise to. And so we are going to, I don't want to take a lot of time on this, because we are going to talk about evangelism, and we're going to talk about some of those thoughts as well in this. But so I think this will help, and even help answer that question in this next section. That is, biblical discipling is being a pipeline. Okay? It's being a pipeline. This will help answer some of that. To better understand the concept of discipling, what I want us to do and what I want us to think about is consider the image of a pipeline being a pipeline for pouring out spiritual blessing into the life of another person. Because Dad loves it. Dad, I grew up being, you know, I've run equipment. I love equipment, logging, other equipment, excavators, dump trucks, doing things. I love that kind of stuff. Now my boys love that kind of stuff. Okay, they're always digging in the yard. They have dump trucks. They have excavators. And several of your boys probably do the same thing. Or even your girls. My girls did as well, too, when they were young. You know, and so they're doing what they see or what they hear. Well, we're driving down the road. And before I see it, Micah will pick out any John Deere equipment anywhere, fields away that he can see. He just sees it. He's like, Dad, there's a John Deere. Dad, there's a tractor. Look at that tractor. Look at that. I mean, he knows combines. He knows tractors. He loves them. And my point is this, that as we do that, one of the things that we love, my son John likes cranes. And somebody gave him a model, a very expensive model. It was a guy we were remodeling a bathroom for, and he was an older gentleman. And then he asked John if he wanted this crane. And he gave it to him. It's awesome. I was jealous, like crazy jealous about this. I was actually mad. I'm like, you know, I'm the guy working for you, doing the work, and John's helping me, and you give him? But that happened on several jobs. He got a four-wheeler. I mean, I got...
No bitterness here.
Yeah. So anyway, we could talk about that another time, and I need some discipling in that area. But so... The point is this, that as you think about it, you ever drive by when they're laying, and I don't mean to bring this up and don't go too far with this, but when they're laying a pipeline, okay? And as the side-mounted cranes on the dozers are laying in the pipe and doing that, it's a fascinating thing to watch. And all the timing of that and what they do. The idea is that as that pipe is hoisted into the air and it's moved into place and it's set back down, the purpose of that pipeline, what are we marveling at? We're not marveling at the pipeline. We're not marveling at the pipe itself. You all have pipes in your house. And I'll guarantee you that you're thankful for them. Even if you don't think about them. You'll think about them when they break. You'll think about them when they don't work. You'll think about it when there's sewage in your basement or water flooding your house. You'll think about those pipes. But otherwise, you probably don't think about that day in and day out. It's not something we focus on. The purpose of a pipeline is to move fluid in the direction that it should go, right? It's making sure that it gets from the source to the intended destination. And I would say this, biblical discipling is very much like being a pipeline. Christians who root themselves in God's truth are in a position to do good to others. They're in a position to do good to others. God uses Christians as conduits, as pipelines for his truth. We take God's truth and we learn to live by it and we pass that on to others. That's what we do. That's what we ought to do. If we had, if we could illustrate it this way, if you had a tank and you plugged a pipe into that tank and you ran it down to another tank, Up here you have God's word being poured in. You're the tank, okay? Maybe you don't like being called a tank, but it's okay. Imagine with me, okay? You're the tank. God's word's being poured into you. As you fill that tank up, it's going to flow, right? And pass on. And so as we think about that, you and I are that conduit, that pipeline, that we are just passing this truth to this spot, helping it get from this destination to this destination, or this place to this place. You and I are not what should be talked about in the sense that I don't want people to know more about Greg than I want them to know about Greg's God. I don't want people to know more about Greg than they know about Greg's Jesus. I don't want them to know more about my life, my achievements, my failures, than they know more about what God wants to do in their life.
They will, actually.
They will. They'll see it. I don't have to point it out. But the point is this. Pipes do not have a lot to be proud of. 1 Corinthians 4:7. Would someone look that text up? Would someone look up also Galatians 6:14? 1 Corinthians 4:7. Who will look that up? If you get there, just go ahead and read it. Someone else wants to head over to Galatians 6:14. 1 Corinthians 4:7.
For who makes you differ from another, and what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?
Galatians 6:14. Yes, thank you.
But may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world.
Okay. So as the pipeline, am I producing anything? No, I'm not. I'm not producing anything. I'm what? I'm transferring what I've been given. I'm transferring what I've been given. I'm passing it on. I'm passing it along. Okay? I'm not the creator of the truth. I'm not the producer of it. I'm not the one who instills it and gives it. I'm not the one who's going to change the heart. I'm not the one who's going to change the life. It's not important that you know me, that you know who I am, that you know what I can and cannot do. But it's important that you know the truth. It's important that you know God. It's important that you know Christ. It's important that you see Him. And so as I pass that truth on, I'm just the pipeline. I'm just the conduit. I'm just that which God is using to accomplish what He wants to do, as He did it in my heart, and He desires to do it in your heart or someone else's heart, where I'm the discipler. And sometimes I'm the one that's on the receiving end. Someone else is that conduit for me. And they're passing that truth on. And I'm seeing it. And as I'm reading God's word, it is the source. And as I'm reading it, the Holy Spirit is doing what? It's illuminating the word to me. And it's being passed on to me. I am seeing that truth. So God both helps us to dispense His word. But before we can dispense, we must what? Receive it. And that's really what Terry was talking about. Is we must prepare. We must be deliberate. We have to be receiving or we will not be dispensing. We'll be dispensing something, but it won't be the truth. It won't be the right gospel. Okay, so we have to receive the truth if we're going to dispense the truth. And I think that just helps us to picture and helps us to have that idea of what that is. The work of the pipeline is simply to be in the right place, channeling God's truth to others. Okay? The next thing that I want us to see here, it's a process, not a program. I think it's important for us to understand this. It's a process, not a program. Discipleship is not a program. Discipleship is a process. There are many, now I'm not saying programs are not helpful. There are many programs that help in the process of discipleship, But discipleship is not a process. It's not a program. It is a process. Scott was going to correct me. You were ready. All right. Why might it be easy to think about discipleship as a program instead of a process?
It's easy to apply a program. Give me a piece of paper, read it off to somebody, we're done.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we're actually like programs. We like to be told this is what needs to be done, and this is how we need to do it, and this, if you just follow these three easy steps, right, then this is what will happen.
Come on, I got a nail.
That's not discipleship. There are steps. There are things that we need to do. But it's not all entailed in one thing. There are several things that fit several programs into the process of discipleship. Several things there that we need to go over. So what I want us to see is this, that many programs have been developed to grow disciples. But because every person is different and everyone has different struggles, everyone faces different life in different ways, there's different things, we did not all grow up the same way. We did not all face the same things. Some of you grew up in Christian homes. Some of us did not. Some of you grew up as whatever, and going to a Christian school. Some of us did not. You know, we grew up, we have different things about our lives that are true. If I shared my testimony with you and Pastor Dave shared his testimony with you, those are two very different testimonies. But it is very much the same God who's doing the work. It is very much the same Jesus that both of us needed to meet and to know and to trust and by faith follow. Our stories are different. Our God is not. Our stories are different. Our Savior's not. And so as we think through that, I want us to see that at its core, discipling is essentially whatever we do to intentionally help other Christians to grow up in holiness. It's not a process of becoming like, it is a process of becoming like Christ. It's not a program. It's sanctification. It's putting off the old man and putting on the new man. There are several people that I'm talking with right now, and some of the things that we cover, sometimes weekly or sometimes different periods of time, we're not covering the same thing. We're not all going through the same book. We're not all going through the same Bible study. We're not all looking at the same scripture passages. Why? Because we have very different situations. Ultimately, Scripture speaks to every one of those. We're not necessarily in the same book of the Bible. We're not necessarily in the same text of Scripture from person to person to person. And so as we look at it, we think about that. It may mean outlining a book of the Bible together. It may mean going through a core Sunday school class or taking the next step, getting involved in a deeper learning classes. It may mean sharing insights from weekly sermon with someone over coffee. It may mean bringing your kids over to play in another mother's home and discussing last week's lesson or your devotions or what you're going through. We could go on and on of what that would look like. What discipling looks like in practice is pretty wide open. How you get together with people, where you get together with people, is pretty wide open. The key is whatever you do should be rooted in the truth of Scripture and presented on the basis of an intentional, loving relationship. So the idea is this, that is what discipling is. It is wherever, whomever, meeting that I would be loving and intentional and pointing people to the Scriptures rooted in the truth of Word of God that they might see and know God more fully. I'm looking to be discipled as much as I'm looking to disciple. I need to continually have people investing in my life. I need to continually read. I need to continually study. Why? Because I know if nothing's going in, then what's going out is going to be pretty weak. It's not going to be helpful. It's not going to be useful to you or anybody else. Okay? So as we look at that, let me close with this. We need to wrap it up here. Maybe. Okay. I'm just going to go over this. As we move forward with this class, we'll consider a lot of specifics of what discipling looks like in practice. We're going to talk about a lot of different things. How to discuss a book with someone, how to study the Bible together, many other specific topics. But as we close, I want to remind you what we covered in this lesson. And that is this. Discipling is intentional and deliberate. Discipling is relational. Discipling is loving. We covered this one today and the rest of these. Discipling involves training in God's Word. Okay? It's all of these things. It's all of these things. I encourage you to begin thinking now how you can grow in your discipleship of Christ by becoming an intentional, deliberate contributor to the culture of discipling at Sunrise Bible Church. So I asked you last week, how well do you know those that you go to church this week? Go to church with. I want to ask you this week, how well are you doing at being intentional, deliberate? How well are you doing at being relational and loving and training others in God's Word? Allowing yourself to be trained that you might train others. You and I are just pipelines. At the end of the day, it's about God's truth. It's about God. It's about Christ. And it's about His Word.
It's a process.
That's our source. And it's a process. Thank you. It is not a program. It's an ongoing process. You're dismissed.